Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus. Amen. The word of God for our meditation today is the first lesson from Genesis chapter 11. How many of you are fans of Frank Sinatra? Not a whole lot of hands, right? My parents were. They really loved Frank Sinatra, but see, that's because he was in their generation. I was never a fan of Frank Sinatra. As a child of the 60s, I was more into the Beatles and the Rolling Stones, and in the 70s, it was more Aerosmith and The Who. Please don't think any less of me, but I still like all four of them. But there's one Frank Sinatra song that sticks in my mind, and it goes all the way back to when I was in college. And we had our senior college graduation banquet, and the president of the college had always said how much he hated Frank Sinatra's song, My Way. So what did one of my classmates do? He pulled out his guitar at the graduation banquet, and he proceeded to sing Frank Sinatra's My Way. Why, I don't know. But are you familiar with the song? Well, most people are. And, I would sing it for you, but I've been in the ministry 40 years. No one has ever asked me to join the choir. The only thing they've ever asked me to do is make sure you turn your microphone off when you sing. So unless someone else wants to get up and sing it, I'll just read the words, okay? I don't see any volunteers, okay? Well, this is what it says. It says, "And now the end is near, so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear. I'll state my case of which I'm certain. I lived a life that's full. I've traveled each and every highway, and more, much more than this, I did it my way." You think about those words and you can understand why the president of my Christian college did not like those words. I mean, think about what that song says. He knows the end of his life is near, right? He's getting old. So the end is near, and he's facing the final curtain. He also admits that he's lived a full life, right? He's traveled each and every highway. But what does he say is the most important? But more than this, he said, "I did it my way." Is that what you want to be important for you when the end is near and you're facing the final curtain? We can look back on our lives and I can look back on my life and say I've lived a full life and I've traveled a lot of highways. In fact, I've often said to people, if I were to die today, I would have no complaints because God has blessed me so much in my life and I've had the opportunity to go so many places, meet so many people, and do so many things that I really wouldn't have any complaints, even though there's more things I'd like to do. But when I face that final curtain, I don't want to say the most important thing is that I did it my way. I want the most important thing to be able to say, I did it God's way, right? And don't you feel the same way? You want to be able at the end of your life to say, I did things God's way. Now, granted, nobody's perfect. But as Christians, as children of God, isn't that our goal? To do things God's way? The very familiar Bible story before us this morning, the Tower of Babel, is a great indication of that. See what it was? We're going to do it my way instead of God's way. Now listen to God's reaction. The Lord said, "If as one people speaking the same language, they begin to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other. So the Lord scattered them from there all over the earth, and they stopped building the city. So God said, you know, this isn't going to end here. If I let them get away with this, it's only going to get worse. So God came down, and he confused their language so that they couldn't understand each other, and then he scattered them over the whole earth. So God's plan worked in spite of them, right? God wanted them to spread over the whole earth. They didn't do it, so God said, you know what? I'll scatter you over the whole earth. It just shows people's defiance of God, right? So it shows how people say, I want to do things my way instead of doing things God's way. And what's the lesson for us today, and how does it relate to Pentecost, the birthday of the Christian church? Well, obviously there's a connection between the confusing of the languages, right, at Babel, and then God giving the apostles the ability to speak in other languages so everyone could understand and hear the gospel. But understand what happened on Pentecost. What was the real miracle of Pentecost? I mean, there were some fabulous things that happened. You know, if you listen to Acts chapter 2, there was the sound of a mighty rushing wind, and then little tongues of fire. And think about what that would have done. I call them attention-getting miracles. You know, people are in that courtyard, all those people from all over the place, and they're having their own little conversations, and suddenly they hear this sound of a mighty rushing wind. No wind, just the sound. Every conversation is going to stop, or at least it's going to turn to people saying, what's this? And then they see those little tongues of fire floating around, and they settle on top of the heads of each of the apostles. So now you have everybody focusing their attention on the apostles. And then they start teaching the word. And people say, what is this? They're all Galileans. But every one of us hears them speaking in our own native language. Well, that's a miracle. But I call that the facilitating miracle. It's what God used so they could hear the word of God. You know what the real miracle was? 3,000 people became Christians that day. The Holy Spirit led 3,000 people to believe in Jesus as their Savior from sin. That's the real miracle. And how did the Holy Spirit work that miracle? Well, we heard in the second reading that part of Peter's sermon. And what he did is he told the people what was happening, that it was God's outpouring of the Holy Spirit. He also told the people a very clear law and gospel. He told them about Jesus and who Jesus was and what Jesus had done. And then he looked at them and he said, this Jesus, whom you crucified, is both Lord and Christ. Think about that. They certainly knew who the Christ was, right? The promised Messiah who was going to be sent as the Savior of the world. And he looked at them and he said, this Jesus, the one that you crucified, he's Lord and Christ. And the Bible then says they were cut to the heart. They were convicted of their sins. Not only had they rejected Jesus as the promised Savior, they arranged things so that he would be handed over to the Roman authorities and nailed to a cross. You crucified him. And they didn't know what to do. The Bible says they were cut to the heart, and all they could do was look at the apostles and say, well, what do we do now? What do you want us to do? You know, and Peter didn't give them this whole list of good works to do. He simply said to them, repent be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the forgiveness of your sins. He told them to repent. He told them to be baptized and have their sins forgiven. And then he said, you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And by that, he didn't mean that they would be speaking in other languages. The gift of the Holy Spirit was faith in Christ. Just an amazing miracle of how the Holy Spirit works through the Word, works through the clear teaching of the law, God's law, to convict us of our sins, and the wonderful message of the gospel, which turns us to Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins. That's a miracle of the Holy Spirit, and every one of us here has experienced that miracle. But don't forget the other thing that Peter said. He said, this Jesus whom you crucified is Lord and Christ. He's not only our Savior, but he's our Lord. And as our Lord, that means he's the one who's ruling over us. He's the one who makes the rules. He's the one that we are supposed to follow in our everyday lives. And all of us as Christians, we love the fact that Jesus is our Savior, don't we? We just so appreciate the words of Jesus from that cross when he says, it is finished. We love the miracle of the resurrection when we see our Savior alive and his glorious ascension into heaven. And we know what he did, and we know that our sins are all forgiven, so that like those people in the Pentecost crowd, we can repent of our sins and turn to Jesus. But sometimes we have a problem, the same problem the people at Babel did. We have a problem accepting Jesus as the Lord of our life. And like them, instead of saying, well, this is what my Lord wants me to do, we so often take things in our own hands and say, I'm not going to do that. Instead, I'm going to do it my way. And what happens when we do it our way? You know, God usually foils our plans, right? Look what he did to the people at Babel. They wanted to make a name for themselves and stay together. God said, no, you're not going to make a name for yourselves. I'm the Lord here. And I'm going to confuse your languages, and I know you want to stay together, but you know what? I'm scattering you. And that was actually very merciful of God. He could have done a Sodom and Gomorrah thing and come down with fire and brimstone and wiped them all out, right? But he didn't. He simply taught him a lesson and said, when I give you a command, as my children, I want you to follow it. And, you know, we can see that in our own lives. How many times we make excuses and we want to do things our way, and our whole plans are foiled, right? You know, God says, love your neighbor as yourself. You know, and how many times do we fail to do that? And instead of dealing with each other in love, compassion and kindness and forgiveness, how many times do we react in anger and bitterness? And what happens then to our personal relationships? They don't work out, right? How many times have we had our own ways of thinking we can better ourselves and this, you know, and get rich or whatever, or get a better job, and we do it in a way that's not quite honest and not quite God-pleasing, and maybe we do it in a way that kind of leaves God out of our plans, and they don't work out. And I believe, my friends, that's a real message of the Tower of Babel. And I also believe it's a message of Pentecost. Not only does the Holy Spirit come into our hearts and make us Christians and believers in Jesus, the Holy Spirit also comes into our hearts and enables us to believe in Jesus as our Lord and enables us to live our lives God's way. So get into the Word. Stay in the Word of God. Believe and trust in Jesus as your Christ, your Savior from sin. But also ask God and also ask the Holy Spirit to come into your heart and enable you to call Jesus your Lord and live every day the way Jesus wants you to live. So that when the end is near for you, when you're facing your final curtain, that you can say to God, Savior, Lord, through it all,